And I did. As long as I don't say Allahu Akbar after that, nobody have to worry about anything else. Well, good morning, everyone. The Spirit of God is here. I really feel Him in this place. And I'm so honored to be with my brother Joe and his wife. I delight in them. They are my family. And I'm so thankful that you're taking the time today. I was seeking the face of the Lord about what to speak today. And the Lord said, the hour has come upon this nation. And a judgment is up, is in my hand, and about to release. The judgment is coming, but those who are in me, and I'm in them, they can ask anything in my name, and I will give it to them. I'm sorry, sir. So with this said and done, the time that shapes our time right now, as you saw in our constitution up there, that our constitution is God-made. It's based on the Bible. The Word of God carved our nation for a specific time as this. This nation was nowhere to be found. It's a born-again land. When He tried every other nation, and there was no other to listen, He birthed this nation. And the birthing of God for this nation is so unique and so powerful. We come into a place where God is going to do great and mighty things through America yet that we have not seen. America has not fulfilled its greatest power and greatest glory yet. That glorious time is coming, so be still. That glorious time is coming upon this nation. And God's people is going to be put to an awesome use. The line has been drawn in the sand. And God warriors standing on one side and calling. They're rubbing their spears and their shields and their sword and calling for the glory of God to come. And the enemies brought their giants on the other side and they're calling for their military to come and for their warriors to come. The great divide has been established for the glory of the Lord. This is happening not because that we are doing something wrong or right, but because the glory of the Lord must be revealed in such hour as this. Because God will mock His mockers. The Word of God says, let God arise and let His enemy be scattered. And let the righteous be glad and let those who arise against Him be put to shame. God does not wish for anyone to fail, to go by the wrong way, because God is patient and God is loving. He wishes even for everyone to come and receive His love and His goodness. He doesn't desire for anyone to die, you know, and go to the wrong place. Hell was not created for humanity. Hell is created for demons, for Satan and his herd that fell out of heaven. So therefore, God today is calling for His bride. Say, we are His bride.
We are His bride.
We are the bride of Christ, and we're not going to find ourselves to be His bride until we come to complete submission. Once there was a story told that there was this lady came with her mother-in-law. Her name is Naomi. The daughter-in-law was her name's Ruth. Ruth lost her husband, and Ruth didn't have inheritance. She had that field, she had a few things here and there, and she didn't know what to do. And there was a man in the land of Israel, his name was Boaz. Boaz sits in the gate of the kings. This is where he spoke, and there was a place for him seated over there among all others. Boaz is the reflection and the image of Jesus Christ. And Boaz, as he sat over there, Naomi said to Ruth, he was blessed among all men. His blessings surpass. There's something about him. Jesus is coming to His bride. And today when I want to talk about positioning. Positioning. What is positioning? Positioning is where the bride come to her place to receive her Maker, to receive her Jesus. And this is the time and the hour when the bride must come at her place where God called her to be, falling at the feet of Christ. She went first to his field, and she was like a beggar asking for the leftover. Like all other beggars, they came and they took the leftover of the barleys and all the grains, and they gave her portion. But the bride of Christ today, she could not look at the beggar plate, because her portion is not small. Her portion is the heaven and fullness of its glory. One night, Naomi talked to her daughter, and she said, "Go and humble yourself before him." As Boaz went to sleep that night after the harvest, the field, she went and slept at his feet. There she lifted up the cover and put her warmth at his feet to keep his feet warm. And when she humbled herself, when he woke up in the middle of the night, he said, "Who are you?" She told him who she is. The second day she became his bride, and she inherited his entire inheritance, the kingdom. We're coming to the place as the bride of Christ could not be crying out like, "Give me this and give me that." You have the whole thing. We have to go to the whole fullness of God, but we have to humble ourselves. The word of God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and return from their wicked ways." This is where we're coming. There's another man. His name was Elijah. Elijah was very, very, very special to God. Elijah heard the voice of God. He walked with God. He knew God. He was in God. Being in God is the one who gave his life to God. Being in God is not when somebody is still deciding, "Today I got to go work and please my boss and please this and laugh at this and make myself this and this to become, you know, to make earn that money." We prostitute ourselves to the world and the fullness of the world. So what? So we can earn the blessing of the world. The Lord does not delight in this, because God is a maker of all things. He is not short. He is not disabled. He is not weak. He is not poor. He is not left over. He is Lord of all. And we come into the place when Elijah walked with him, he asked of the Lord as the Lord commanded him. He spoke and God gave him the glory and the power and the fullness. This power is given to us as the bride of Christ. But the bride of Christ must understand that even Elijah and all the glory that he had with the Father, with God himself, could not be given to the bride unless the bride humble herself. So Elijah walked to Elisha and he said, "Come and follow me. Come and follow me." Elisha take the oxen, take everything that he have, and he burns the inheritance. Why? Because he burned the inheritance of the physical, of the body that is given to him. And he said, "I want to have what you have." And he wanted to celebrate the spiritual inheritance. And he burned the physical one. And he gave it as offering of sacrifice. Our life has to be an offering, a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. And if this life does not glorify him, then we are in trouble, because glory and victory and power does not come by exalting ourselves, but by offering ourselves as sacrifice of praise. Today we are here to celebrate this victory. The victory is above all victory. So what happened? Elisha followed Elijah. And one day God said to Elijah, "You're coming home. I'm sending you an elevator. And it's going to be just awesome elevator. And it's going to lift you up and you're going to be going home." So Elisha knew that he was going home. Elisha knew that Elijah is going to go there and he's going somewhere, and he didn't know what to do with it. So Elisha kept close and tight. Every time, stand up, Steve. Every time Elijah went somewhere, Elisha went behind him like this. I'm not letting go of you. Stay away from me. I'm not letting go of you. Stay away from me. I'm not letting go of you. You're going, and I'm not letting you go. Why? Because Elisha understood the power and the love, and he saw the glory of inheritance, and he saw the power of God upon Elijah, and he wants it, and he wants more. He was not satisfied with what Elijah wants. He wants more. And if the bride is asking for the little, we are going to get the little. Ask for more. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. Elijah looked at Elisha. He said, enough. What do you want with me? What do you want with me? Elisha said, everything you have, I want double portion. Well, wait a second. What I have is not mine. What I have is given to me from God. I don't care. I want to have double portion. Greedy little. Well, if I lift it up and my scar fell on you, then you will have the fullness of the whole thing. The double portion that you want. He anticipated and he waited with a heart of thanksgiving and a servitude as he served his master. And as he waited over there, Elijah was lifted up and he did not let go, because as long as you live, I'm not letting go of you, my Lord. And the glory of God, the scar fell on Elisha, and double portion fell on Elisha. Elisha, everything Elijah did, Elisha did double. So you say, how could a servant be greater than his master? We're looking at it the wrong way. How could the bride be greater than her husband? The bride will inherit the double portion of her husband if she obeys, because she is in the glory of his den, and that's the lion den. And there she will inherit everything. She is the warrior that goes before him, and she wants more, even to the point to bring the kill to the den, to say, here. And today we are no different. The bride of Christ must go out to the world and bring the blessings before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and lay it at his feet and say, behold, Lord Jesus. And that is seeking the people of the world and the love of God, and bring them at his feet and say, these are your portion that you swore that you will have. These are the people, and he will crown you with a crown of glory, and that is what you bring to him. It will be jewels on your crown, because these, the people that you brought before him, today that they are saved. The bride. Her time is not up. Who is the bride? Read Proverbs 31. The bride is so beautiful. She works. She did not go to sleep until her master came back again. Positioning. They asked the Chinese just recently, why is God moving so fast and so powerfully in China? Millions and millions of Chinese, hundreds of millions come into Christ. What is it that you guys doing? They said, we sacrificed. When we start dying for the glory of God and they start challenging us and start doing this, God broke up the gates, and now God starts bringing more to us. Now we come into a place, that place, and like all other religions, let's give them a name, and that name is called ism, socialism, communisms, Islamisms, liberalisms, Nazisms. All the isms have something, including some Christian movement today. They called Chrislamisms. What happened is they have a truth that they base their life on, but this is the bride that will not know Christ. This is the false bride that claimed that the power of God and the glory of God, but this is the bride that will be left behind, and her portion is not God. The bride here in Christ, why is she going somewhere? Because she is in Him, and He is in her, and she is serving Him. Why? Because when the Father sent the Son, He went knowing He's going to walk to the cross. In the book of Matthew, He was talking to Peter, and He said to all His apostles, He said, "Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am?" What did people say? They said, "You're Elijah, or you John the Baptist, or you're a great prophet." He said, "But who do you think I am?" Nobody knew, and Peter looked at Him and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We will know Him and He will know us. That knowing is not given to us. It's not something that we earn or do. It's given to us. We are chosen and selected for such hour as this. We are His breath. Because when He said, "Let there be light," and those who came in His light, they become His breath. And that breath, wherever you go, God has given you position. God has given you power. God has given you glory to tread upon the lion and the serpent and the great dragon, to trample Him under your feet. And that is a place of victory and power. But the bride must understand that she is more than able. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, "Greater things you will do than I, because I go before the Father." Amen. Well, greater things, what do you mean, greater things? You heal the sick, the dead rose up. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame walked. Peter walked to the temple and he looked at that poor man who was asking for money. He said, "Money I don't have, but what I have I give you. Rise up!" His legs were intact. This hour is upon us. The glorious day are upon us. Why? Because when darkness becomes so strong, the light of God must explode. And it's going to be a new killer. And why? Because it's going to defy darkness. And darkness is going to go, "How are these people doing it? How are these people doing it?" And people are going to start going in Exodus, seeking the light of God. Going to walk right to Him and say, "Behold, I am yours and you are mine." We are the usherer of Christ, but we have to understand, number one, when He said, "Greater things you will do than I," is how does that work? Number one, when He referred to Himself as the Father, and then He talked about His Son, and then He talked about the Holy Spirit. We worship God in spirit and truth. Number one is we have to be acquainted with the Spirit of God and ask the Spirit of God to come and live inside of us. And when He lives inside of us, we become circumcised at heart, because our heart does not belong to us. It belongs to the King, the Maker of all things. And now we are marked with the mark of the King, royal priesthood. Because we gave our heart to Him. And when we don't, what happened is when we're fighting in the world, He said 10 brides, 5 were filled with the Spirit of God. The oil of God was upon them. These guys, just like John the Baptist, he said, he was talking to Jesus, "Who am I to baptize you? You are the Lord." He said, "Let it be for such time. Let it be." He said, "You're baptizing with water. You come in to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Make a place for the Holy Spirit." He said, "It's better for you than that I go, that the great helper that will come to you, and now you will do great things if you allow the Spirit of God in your life." And that Spirit of God will have to come in the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Love is number one. Jesus said, it's been said, to hate your enemy and love your neighbor. I tell you the truth, love your neighbor. Pray for those who hate you and bless those who spitefully use you. If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. What is that feeding? It's the feeding of what God fed you. It's the feeding that keep on going. It's no longer, He said, "You feed them. Don't send them back." Well, what are you going to feed them? We have a fish and loaf of bread. He said, "Feed them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you."
Father, I don't do this for my behalf because I know you are able, but I do it that they may know. He blessed it. He served it, and everybody was fed. The super is waiting on the natural. The natural forgot how to go to the way of the super. The way of the super is through the Holy Spirit, because this is the Spirit of God that ushered us to the inner court. As the whole world is living in the outer court, God is waiting in the inner court. And nothing's going to allow us to go from here to there except the Spirit of God. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has selected me. He has chosen me." Are you selected? That's three. Are you selected? Are you chosen?
Yes.
I swear to you, you are selected and chosen. Even those that they have not figured out that if you are selected or chosen, God's hand is all over your life. And He said, you are here not by a burp or by gas activity, but you are called by God and you are here sitting in my inner court. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Trying to do great things for those who listen. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is so awesome because He knows the heart of God. We make place for the Lord. The temple of God was about 166 cubit feet. Outside here, this is where the outer court. The Jewish people, when Jesus was turning the temple and destroying the temple, He was not destroying the temple because the Jews sinned only, but the Jews disallowed the Gentile to come before the King of Kings. They allowed the Gentile to stay in the outer court. And so what happened? He said, you made it den of what? Thieves. Why? Because you're stealing, you're robbing their inheritance. Well, guess what? Ishmael is born out of Father Abraham. He has an inheritance. He has an inheritance. We could not allow Ishmael to stay in the outside court because we become den of thieves. We become liars and deceivers like Satan, the one who fell. We model ourselves for the glory of God, for He wished for none to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Oh, are you listening? So what happened is, there at the outer court, that's where humanity gave the offering of sacrifice for their sins. And we held the Muslim, and we held the Gentile, and we held everybody outside in that court, that they are always coming to give their sheep for their sin, to offer that sacrifice. They're always coming for their sin because they did not know God above this. But there's very good place when Jesus died on the cross, He said, it is finished. The gate was open. And the altar of sacrifice is no longer physical, is in our humanity. We walk in a sacrifice every day into Jesus Christ. Why? Because He died in sacrifice. Christmas is very special to me. I love Christmas. Even when I'm a Muslim boy, I was envying the Christian. Why they have good Christmas? Why they do this? Amen? Amen? I'm going like, Allah! Dude, speak to me! The light is on, no one is home. Over there, they celebrated, they have freedom. They did everything they want. What kind of freedom they have that we don't have? What is it? And when Jesus broke that curse, He said, now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus that set me free from the law of sin and death. Woo! What do we do? Run first, run to God! Don't run away. Run to Jesus.
There came the altar of the basins of water right there. The basin, this is where humanity was healed. This is where humanity was cleansed from sins. This is where humanity took on a new identity. This is where humanity came and he said, you baptize with water. And that baptism over here is the flesh cleansing. This is when your world still, you have not known the Lord. You're still living in a place, what's in it for me? Will God give me a good-looking man? Would God give me a good-looking wife? Would God bless me with a big house? Would God, this is still about you and it's not about him. That place is, although it's a living water, because nothing healed but the living water. It's a living water. Nothing can heal but the living water. But after that basin, the whole, the glory of the temple is in a building. It's about 6% of the whole temple. That building, it's split to 2% and 4%. The 4% is the inner court. The 2% is the Holy of Holies. Well, wait a second. What are you talking about, Kamal? From the basins of water to the inner court, something happened. It's called the birth in the Holy Spirit. The birth in the Holy Spirit is no longer a birth of flesh. It's the birth of God. Now, this is where you become sons. That's when you become daughters. That's when you become royal priesthood. And that, from here to there, it's the walk in the wilderness. That is when your greatest exam will take place. This is where warrior fell and people missed their destiny because they could not bear it. The Lord says, it's not what you can bear. It's what you allow me to do through you. So walk in that distance. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You will walk this believing. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things are seen. The glory of God is in faith. It is not in needs or wants or desires. When you desire his heart, faith, then you will conquer all this. And now you walk in on water. Peter, come to me. Ooh, water. You think water is good? Wait till you walk on air. What is that? He translated. And now he's leading this Ethiopian leader, he's telling him about the Bible, and he baptized him. He walked in air. How do you do this? If you are in me and I am in you, ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. The bride of Christ knows him and he knows her. When you smell her, you smell his scent on her. And that fragrance is the Holy Father himself who sent his son in my name. Go and love them and bring them to me. And that place, if you don't know the love of God, then you will not be able to walk in faith. Paul said, pray for more love. Pray for more love. I'm tired with me. Every place I go, I was sitting there and I saw what's going to happen to this country. And I said, Lord, have mercy on us according to your great love. Take away our iniquity. Cleanse us from our sin. Repentance is what usher the blessings of God. Repentance is what usher the glory of God. Repentance is what brings holiness and righteousness. What's the difference between holiness and righteousness? Why God call himself holy and righteous? Why? Holiness. Holiness is when you keep yourself holy. You walk in his love. You walk in his desire. You walk in everything that he called you to do. Because holiness is a gift from God and it comes from the throne. It does not come from anywhere else. And God can give you holiness. And that holiness will set you free. And now you're free of spot and wrinkles. But holiness does not operate by itself without righteousness. Why? Because righteousness is how you conduct yourself and how you stand and how you talk and how you move and how you say who you are. Who do you say I am? Well, you're terrorists from Lebanon who killed people for a living. Who became wrathless piece of leather. And you go like, but who do you really think I am? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because what happened in the past is my past resume. What happened in the future is the glory of God that came about me and says, no one can do this. Take somebody from the darkness, from the pit of hell, into the den of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one can do this except if you are in me and I am in you. And if you take him upon yourself, he will take you through this business. There, what Paul said, I keep my eyes on the price. I keep my eyes on the higher calling. Even though when I fail, I get up and I run again. Be an athlete. Be everything. We race. That's race over there, because there's something very unique and very special. I don't desire to be in the inner court. I want to be in the Holy of Holies. I don't want just to be in a temple. I want to be with Jesus Christ. And that is how God is going to save our nation, is one call. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Save us, Son of the living God. We give you our life. We give you our soul. We give you everything. We belong to you. And that point of surrender, God will arise to his rightful place. And the enemy will be destroyed. Even the enemy will come and bring the jewels, just like the queen of Ethiopia before him, Solomon. And she laid and bowed before him. She knew the gift. And she knew the power. Ha! In that place over there, the 4%. When you enter the door, and the Holy Spirit take you there, the first altar is the altar of bread. Altar of bread. On the right hand side. Right there, I saw it. And as it sits there, ye could not enter to the inner court until, he said, take ye my flesh and be flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. The marriage must take place. The marriage in Christ must take place. And that marriage is, you are no longer yours, you are his. I am yours and you are mine. And when you take that flesh, it will allow you to come to the second altar. It's called altar of light. There the sanctification of God himself will come and overtake on the surface of the deep. The man now is covered by something very special. Is the Spirit of God in a new way and a new understanding. Over there, that light will permeate you. Darkness start fall. Even the little bitty things. All those little wrinkles, they start straighten up. Your dress become whiter. Your face will glisten. All of a sudden, you come into something new. It's an epiphany. You awaken before the inheritance. Inheritance that you didn't know that you have. Because now you celebrated his flesh. And now you stand in his light. All of a sudden, it is no longer about you. And you see him and you go for his glory and honor and majesty. There in that light, the purification take place in spirit and in truth. And then there's very, very one before the veil that separate between the inner court and the outer court, 7-inch cloth. It has no entrance. The only way to enter, you have to go under, or if God allows you to come in. Those who went under, they were seized by the Spirit of God and they were killed. They put chain on their leg, they pulled them out. Oh, another dead person. Where did he go? To the inner court. I mean, to the Holy of Holies. Were you invited to the Holy of Holies? No. Why? Because even when he went in there, he was not supposed to be there. And the Spirit of God says, you ain't going anywhere. You're going home. You're dead. He's gone. What happened is when they chose everybody, everybody's going like, I don't want to go in there. Zechariah understood this. He understood positioning. Positioning today, when he went in there, he didn't want to go there, and they just kept casting, you know, names, and they said, who's going to go there today? And guess what? Zach? Where are you, Zach? You're chosen, Zach. You're supposed to be here, Zach. Zach. Zechariah was chosen. And when he went in there, something happened. There between the two, the inner court, the holies of holies and the inner court, there's an altar of incense. The sanctification of light is different because the altar of incense, this is when the bride stands there and she takes the sin of her maker. This is where the bride says, have your way with me. This is when the bride comes to complete submission. She is so in love with him because all her life now belongs to Jesus. It's no longer belong to her. She forget about everything about her life. She isn't at that place. She wants more. There she forget about everything and she just totally, stupidly in love. And she's going, I want more. That place is an awesome place because if you don't come silly before God, God not looking for the best of the best of the best. He's looking for those that they will say will be yours and use me. Oh, Jesus. At the altar of incense, this is when the glory of God take you and you are transformed from the inner court to the holy of holies. There before the holies of holies, the Father and His glory is there. I see the Lord seated on the throne, highly exalted. The train of His robe filled the world with His glory. You come over there, and you look upon Him. Wow, no one can fathom His infinite wisdom. No one can fathom His love because He loved us so much that He gave His Son on this day in December. We celebrate what Jesus did. Is it His birthday in December? Absolutely not. We assume it's, but this is the place and this is the time where the whole world celebrate. So we made a place for Him. This is when humanity make a table for their God. This is when we make a table for God in our home and invite Him to His rightful place. He's the headmaster. The table belonged to Him. He said, do not be seated anywhere when you go. When they invite you, do not just go sit next to Him because He said, you may be removed. Sit place undesirable and He will ask you to your rightful place. The table of God, when we make a table for Him, He will make a table for us. He will make a table for you, even in the presence of your enemy. Well, wait a second. What is that table? That table belonged to the Holy of Holies. Table of victory. Why? Because He bought it by blood and that blood is we celebrate the King Jesus because He buried everything in love. He so loved the world that He gave. And that giving, He walked to His death to give His life for the glory of God. Today we celebrate Jesus because all humanity today is waiting on us, the church. All humanity. All humanity. All. That's A-L-L capital. I speak good English sometimes. And when we know that we are a fisher of men, nothing by any means can stop us. Because when we go there, people start knowing that you are a fisher of men. Darkness will flee. You start coming at them, you go like, there's something about him. Get away from him. I don't know what he's up to. I went to Seattle. Seattle, there's over 400,000 Muslims stood there. And we were giving them the Jesus film, telling them that God loves you. And people going like, are you out of your mind? Well, my time is not up. I belong to Him. Whatever He tells me, I will do. Because I love Him. And then He is satisfied with you and He loves you. Even despite all your wrinkles, you say, I'm still not holy. God is not waiting for holy people. He's waiting for people who allow Him to make Him to make them holy. That's the holiness of God. Islam is waiting on us, all of us. This is a very special story to me that I don't tell a whole lot. When I came to know my place before Christ, it was at the feet of Christ. There when I laid my face at His feet. There when I came in submission to Him. There, I had no understanding. I had no wisdom. I was so stupid that stupid ran away from me. That's God's honest truth. Ask all the people, my predecessors, going like, this is Kamal. We know who he is. This God is bad. Bad. Really, you know, dumber than sheep. But God's grace is sufficient for me. There I understood my place. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There at that place, when I laid at my face and I knew who he is and was and is to come, I came in surrender. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to be. But one thing I know, here I am, use me. When you make yourself a vessel available to God's hand, God will move in your life like never before. There, I start became the norm. I stopped being in bed with my wife at night. When my wife went to sleep, I wake up to sit with him. There, when I was there with him one night, and he spoke to me. And he said, come on, I'm sending you. It is so scary when God speaks. It just changed your world. It shakes your world. All of a sudden, every cell in your body, it come to fall apart because it doesn't know what to do. When your maker call you, you just go, who am I? You just want to cover yourself. The first time he talked to me, I went and hid under the blanket, covered my head, and I was shivering. Why would he want to talk to me? Then I approached the place. He said, Kamal, I'm sending you. I said, where am I, Lord? When? Where and when? Obedience is better than sacrifice. We don't challenge God. Don't you know I'm busy? It's midnight hour. Don't you know that I have work tomorrow? Don't you know that this life he gave me, he did not bless enough? Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? No. What do you want and where? He said, I'm sending you to a country called Qatar. When do you want me to leave? I will let you know when you leave. You're taking this and this and this and this with you. 6 men. Oh, really? You don't say, I know who they are. You sure you want to send those with me? I said, yes, Lord. I picked up the phone in the midnight hour and I called everybody. We're going somewhere. These people are going like, don't you have a wife? Don't you have a children? Go back to bed. I'm going, we're going somewhere. Where are we going? God called me tonight and we're going to Qatar and God told me to ask you to take you with me. Okay. Didn't argue. And now we're going somewhere. And in that going, I didn't know what I was going. He said, go in my name. In my name. What happened when you go in his name? What happens? In my name, I will be with you even until the end of that age. In my name, there I will be glorified in you. In my name, I will give you the harvest. I will give you my glory. In my name, I will mock the enemy. Why? Because you made a table for your God in the presence of his enemy. He made a table for you in the presence of your enemy. You say, who is my enemy? We do not fight flesh and blood, but spirits. Destructive forces of evil. So seek you first the kingdom of God. Stand up and fight the good fight. You go, that's a lot of work, but we come somewhere. We give sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. The sacrifice that we do is not because of us, it's because of what he did. And then God, sacrificial blood, is upon us in fullness of his power. So, we go and apply for passports, and guess what? We get the passports so fast, nobody get passport to Qatar. You're foreigners. This is a special country. You don't go there. You have to wait for visa, go interview. Somebody has to acquire you. You have to come somewhere. And if you can't, you will not be able to go there. We got the visa in less than a week. We got our passport. All of us get our passport. Boom, 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 boom. We were flying to Qatar a little bit over a week. And everybody going like, what are we going to do, Kamal? I said, it's coming. Just wait. And as we are just... The airplane was hovering over the airport and over Qatar because There was so much congestion down on the ground. And the Lord says, pray. Take dominion and power and authority over the power of the air. We have strategy. Pray. All of us are praying. Everyone took different windows, and some of them going speaking in tongue, and some of them speaking in spirit, and some of them speaking in regular language. But everybody was taking dominion and power and authority. We seized the power right there in the air. And then as I went to the airport on the ground, the Lord says, take dominion on earth. I fell on my face and I start screaming with a loud voice, Qatar, come to your maker. Surrender. Qatar, a gateway for our Lord. Qatar, start speaking things. All these guys came from all over and made a big circle. And they start going, Majnoon, a crazy man on the ground. Majnoon. Everybody's calling me demon possessed or Majnoon. And I got up and everybody scattered right away. He's up, run. And these people were running all over the place, and a host of military came with their J3. You think that's funny? They came with their J3s, which is Belgian rifle, for those who don't know. They're really good rifles. And with this, what happened is, surrender! I'm going like, I'm going nowhere. I'm all yours. Passport! Passport. They look inside my passport. Oh, your name is Kamal Saleem. It's an American passport. You're an Arab. I am an Arab. You have not been in an Arab country for a long time, have you? No, I have not. Welcome, Kamal Saleem. Welcome. I'm going like, hey, welcome. Don't ask, just follow. God will make a way. All my guys, the six guys standing over there, all of them going like, How did you do that? And now, the generals that arrested me, he got me through the lines, hundreds of people standing in line. They stamped my passport. I'm entering Qatar. All my guys standing in line. Tell them about us. Tell them about us. He said, where are you going, Kamal? I said, we're coming here to visit. There was a convention for all European countries, Western civilization, to have a conferences in Qatar to display their work, their universities, their power, their this and that. And they allowed us to be there at that time. He said, where are you staying? I said, I have no idea. The phone came and he talked on the phone. And then what happened is they send a police car in front of us and a police car in front of us. Now they're hosting us in a limousine. We're going somewhere. My guy's going, how did he do this? I said, don't ask, don't tell. Bad policy. Sorry. I don't believe in politics. I believe in God of politics. He made it all. So therefore, what happened is, the cars are driving to the hotel. He said, we're going to take you to the Pyramid Hotel. The Pyramid Hotel is where the prince, where the royal prince stays at, and he has the top floor. This is only royalty, only the best of the best of the best. The cheapest room over there is about $7,000 a night. And I'm going like, they took us over there. I'm going like, wow. Oh, the prince want to give you a room. He gave me a room. It was so big, you can play soccer in there. It has a swimming pool, hot and cold. You can do anything right there. I'm going like, what did I do? Where am I going with this? We didn't come for vacation. And the Lord spoke. He said, go and possess the land. We start possessing the land. We start going to the highways, to the byways, to the mosques, to the high places, to the city gates, to every highway and byway. We anoint them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And we start decreeing, declaring, condemning the old spirit down, and we declare in the Spirit of God to arise. And we start doing all this. One night, I was doing all this, and I don't call my wife when I'm doing something like this. These are missions, different kind of missions. And what happened is, the Lord said, call your wife. I picked up the phone and I called my wife. My wife said, ah,
welcome. Oh, thank you for calling. The church has not covered us in prayers. It's summertime. We're in Colorado Springs, and it's hailing over the house. Only on our house. And the cluster of that's coming down, it was sand, and it was not ice. Desert sand. The principality retaliated. Who is your covering today? If you don't have a good church, find one, because that covering can make you or destroy you. Amen. This church is a good church for those who doesn't have anyone. Why? Because I found the love of God in here, and His Spirit rested upon this place, and I've seen Him. So now, she said, it's hailing all over. Electricity is going out and in. The phone is ringing, and we have chanting on a phone, like ugly chanting. I'm going, wow. So I went before the Lord. I knew what to do. Your fight is before the Lord. You do not take the fight upon yourself. You take it before the Lord. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Nothing's too difficult for Him. But you have to understand the rules of engagement, how you fight your battle. No matter what it is, marriage, finances, children walk by the wayside, boyfriends are mean, girlfriend doesn't like you, whatever that is, you have to take your fight to the Lord. I was not a very sophisticated man. I'm still not, as you can see. What I married up. My wife, Victoria, was so beautiful, smart. She's a happening woman, and I don't know how to argue with her. She is 160 IQ. Every time I say something to her, she has 12 ideas. I go like, huh, Lord, you gave me more than I can handle. And the Lord says, come to Papa. So every time I had a problem with her, I said, wait a second. Daddy, help! 5 minutes later, my wife will come to me and say, I'm so sorry. It's my mistake. I'm going, how did you do that? Run to Jesus. Run to Papa. So stop it. So what happened is, we go there and we start doing everything in the name of the Lord. And the second day, I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm angry. So I said, Lord, I'm not going to cease from fasting and praying until you avenge me. And so, therefore, I walk on the seashore and I'm walking. And I see this skinny little man coming barefooted toward me. And as he's walking, he's walking straight to me. So I move to the left. So he moved to the left. I move to the right. He moves to the right. And this is getting silly. I'm going to show him a couple tricks. Huh! Or whatever it may be. And as I come to him, he looked me straight in the eyes. He said, there's seven of you. You were in the loft. And the Lord said, I'm sending you. Six American and one Mid-Eastern. And the Lord says, I will meet you here. We're the underground church. We want you to come in. You never underestimate God. If you allow Him to work in your life, if you give Him your life, He will give you the kingdom and the fullness of it. And the fullness of it. You think you have problems? He got the whole world. The whole world. Everything intricately moving correctly, including your life. He knows your heartbeat. He knows the hair on your head. Who am I? Who am I, Lord? We go to that underground church. We do the miracle work. We connect with them. We start sending them stuff. And then I said, just as a spoiled kid, I said, Lord, I'm not finished. I want more revenge. I know my God is venging me. I want more revenge. I'm happy. I'm going somewhere. And so what happened? We're walking in the market. And there, as we're walking in the market, this man came. He's about four, like Zacchaeus. Do you know Zacchaeus in the Bible? You know, he was so short, his beard down there, and he said, you are Americans. I said, yes, we are Americans. You are Americans. I'm going, yes, we are American. He kept saying six, seven times, going like, he probably doesn't know except you're American. You know, so I kept telling him, yes, we are American. And he said, what's your name? So I told him my name. He said, your cousin is the Grand Mufti of Lebanon. Your cousin is the Mufti of Lebanon, the head of all imams. Isn't it? I said, how did you know? He said, I'm the right hand of the Grand Imam of Qatar. He said, would you come to our palace? I'm going like, this is silly. I want more. I want more, Daddy. Be spoiled before your maker.
Because he has a great plan for you to bless you, to prosper you, to show you, and give you a great future. Nothing can harm you. If your time is not up, nothing can harm you. And that's promise. Don't assume. Be certain before you go. This is dangerous work. So we go now. I told the guys, rock and load. Olive oil. Holy oil. Lock and load. We're going somewhere. Holy! We walking. And the gates open up. Machine guns, cannons, 50 calibers, all at the gates. And we're walking. And everybody going, huh! I'm going like, this is just silly. They realize who you are. You are a royal priesthood. Even the demon knows who you are. But do you know who you are? Until you know your identity in him, then. I was going to talk about terrorism today, but I thought I'll talk about this instead. I don't know why, because he told me so. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I love the friends, front line in the churches, because I always anoint them. I spit so much, like a camel. I'm always a little bit more. So you're anointed today. So with this, what happened, this is the best part. So we go in there, and now we anointing everything in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit in the holiest of holies. We're blessing everything in the name of the Lord. And then the grand imam comes in, and he said, you are so-and-so. I said, yes, I am. He said, I know your cousin. Welcome. So I received him. I said, I receive you in the name that is above all name, the Most High God. I anoint you and sanctify you and declare you his breath in this country. He said, I receive it. Thank you. Amen. We sat down. He brought food, baklava, drinks, whatever. We ate and celebrate, and he sent us with a library of Islamic books. All kind of things. That's what I really wanted all along, so we can teach on this stuff. And then he sent us boxes. He said, I'll ship it to you, wherever you are. I'm going, it's on the house. Even the people that they don't serve God, they will come and serve you. We depart from Qatar. And I cried to the Lord. So now what? I'm spoiled. He said, I didn't change my mind. 7 years later, exactly, the Khobar Tower in Saudi Arabia was hit by Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah. Some of you remember. And many Americans were killed. Saudi Arabia, the king started asking America to leave Saudi Arabia. Qatar opened the door to the United States of America. They said, welcome home, America. Seed, time, and harvest. Don't worry. Some may seed and some will reap, but both of you will share the harvest. So don't worry about what you do today. Be thankful that you did it in obedience because it's going to bear fruit. It's coming home. So what happened is, right there, 7 years later, they allowed the American forces, the 6th Fleet and the 7th Fleet, the Air Force bases, American University, everything, to fill up the whole thing. And what happened, 3 years after that, they built the biggest mosque, 70 million
And how do you know by their character? What is their character? Is after the yield, after the Spirit that lead them and guide them. Is that better?
Really?
Okay, now. I play drums very well. So what happened is, I fought in Europe. We did civilization jihad. We fought all over. My last battle was Tora Bora. Now I was working for the Saudi financing my mission everywhere, because I was, the ROI is very good, return on investment. Yeah, I know that too. And so with this, what happened is I was doing things for them, so they were financing me. I was going somewhere, and now everybody wants me to go somewhere for them. And I came to the United States of America, and we were changing the United States. We didn't come in peace. We did say we'd come in peace, but we did not. My kind of people, they're specific and unique. These people are here to sever this civilization, to bring about different God, to bring about God of heaven and earth, just like what I read from Isaiah 14 and 13, to bring him down and bring a God that is greater and bigger and powerful. The difference between the two, when God so loved the world, this God, he said, if the whole world is worth a net leg to me, I'd have destroyed it time and time again. Our Christianity is only in love of God. And here, the love of Allah to his people does not exist, or to anyone. There's no love in the Quran. Isn't that correct? Not one word. Mazboot? Correct. This God so loved. This God did not give. This God sent his son. This God sent an orphan. This God sent his son to bring humanity to be sons and daughters to the bosoms of the father, Abraham, to the promise and inheritance. This one severed them from their promises and inheritances. This one here gave his life. This one here still taking lives of humanity. Don't tell me we worship the same God. There are many, many, many more. There are completely two different deities. One is a true God and one is not. Because if we really worship the same God, then love must abide. So therefore, I came here to the United States of America, and I had a severe car wreck, and some of you heard it before, but I met three men. These men belong to a Christian organization. These men prayed together. These men, 60 men will come together and hold hand like little girls and pray for me. As I was injured, my neck was cracked and my life was shambled, and I don't know what, come here from Sikkim, that's an American saying. And so this way I was going, I had no place to go. And these people showed me the love of God, and they became the love of God, and they became the Word of God, and they showed me who God is, and they showed me something completely different. These men are you. You are these men today. These men, when they went out to the world, they were positioned in the right place to catch, for the catch of the day. They were fisher of men. And when they saw Kamal Saleem came out of his car in a car wreck, they were going like, fresh catch, grab him. And the only way they can bring that catch is not to eat, but to bring before the throne of God to make it holy and bless the Lord. And bless the Lord. These men gave sacrifice of their life. They gave all their finances, their love, their home, their food to secure me and give me a new life. Jesus came to give you that life. Jesus came to give you something that you don't have, that you may be a son and daughter and not to be out of the world, an orphan. These men showed me how the husband loved his wife and how the wife loved her husband. These men, they trained their children. Their children were fisher of men at young age. They knew the love of God and they operated in the Spirit of God. Their home, something else. I forgot about my terrorism. It was just like that soul vanishing in the water and life was changing. And that spasm in my brain went out. And now I was jealous for Islam and hate of these kind of people. All of a sudden I was in love with them and I was jealous for them. Going like, who's going to protect them? They're dumb and dumber. They have God and they love him so much. They're always doing this and this and they don't fight. I'm going, I'll fight for them. And all of a sudden, as I get the zealousy and the love of God in my heart, I notice that these men didn't do anything. All they did is they put Jesus in my mouth. As Jesus died on a cross, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That living spirit of God rose in me. And now, Jesus on the inside gave me new life. And when I went home one day, they said, Kamal Saleem, you can go home. You're doing okay. I told them, I'm not feeling well. A couple more months, I'll feel better. And they're going like, no, you can go now. Hit the road, Jack. And so I went home. There in my home, when I came to talk to my God, I fell on my knees facing the eastern window toward Mecca. And I cried out with a loud voice, Allah, Allah, Rabbi wa Mawlai. My Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? Allah, 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 I love you. And to die for you is what I desire. It is my highest desire. You can kill me every day and bring me life and I will die for you again. This is what I want. But you put me among Christians. They're dumb. Allah, they're God, and them, they have a relationship. They cry out to God, and God speaks to them. They hear His voice. They ask for healing, they receive healing. Everything they do, they have that relationship with the God. I want to have a relationship with you too. I want to hear that you love me. If you're real, speak to me. The Word of God says, let us reason together. Let them come. If there's any other God, let them declare their self. Nobody said anything. My God did not speak. That day, I became mockery to myself. And I knew that I was the lie that walked on earth. As God walked on earth and He was the light, I knew that I was dark. I saw myself and I hated myself to the point that I said, I'll mock Allah. Because in Islam, he said, if you mock Allah, Allah will kill you. If you are Muslim. So I mocked them that day. I said, if I die today, and I was going to clock out, that's a gun. And I was going to finish my story. And if I die today and I see your face, Allah, and you say, Kamal Saleem, you're going to hell because you killed yourself. I'm going to say, I'd rather live in hell than live with you. Because you're a liar. I called upon you. I thought you and asked you. And you did not do anything. Nothing happened. I started laughing. I'm going, he does not talk. That's Southern. And now I was really scared. He ain't talking and I'm scared. Something happened there. I was going to the closet and I was going to reach to one of my gun, put it in the right place, and I was going to finish the story right there. And as I came to the end of my highway, and as I came to surrender and say, I have failed and there's nothing I can do. As I came over there and I didn't know where to go from there. As I came to the place, there's no other possibility. Everything's finished. The cliff is upon you. Their death was going to become you. I came to that place and I heard the voice of God for the first time. And he talked to me like a son and he knew me by name. He called me by name. He said, Kamal, the Muslim, the Jews, the Christian, the call on God of Father Abraham. Won't you call on the God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? When you hear something like this and you had never heard anything in your life, trust and believe, because that's the only thing going to save you, because you're going nowhere. I fell on my knees and I cried out with a loud voice, God of Father Abraham, if you are real, would you speak to me? God, the Father Abraham, if you are real, I want to know you. Well, God, the Father Abraham came to the room and he filled the room with his glory. And his name was Yahweh. The Lord is one. In his presence, there's a fullness of joy. There's love, there's power, there's healing. The host of heaven before him. His face is the light of the world. In his hand and in his feet, he has holes. On his head, he has a shawl. It's the Jewish shawl. He did not change his name. He did not change his purpose. He did not change his identity. He did not change his direction. He is a Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's all things. In him, things were from beginning and begun in him. And he walked in the world to bring the light of God among us. And that day he walked to me. He's alive, y'all. He's not dead. This God is not afraid to reach out for somebody helpless, hopeless, naked, dark, filthy. I remind you of you one time. All of us were there. All of us. That day, I looked at him and I said, my Lord, who are you, my Lord? And he said, I am that I am. I said, I'm a Bedouin. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. He said, I am the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, I am everything. I have known you before I formed the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Whom? Arise, come on. You are my warrior, you are not their warrior. As I rose that day, my neck was intact, my ribs, my collarbone, my knees, everything that was broken was healed. But what was the best healing? He healed my heart, and he healed my mind. And now I know where I'm going. You say, isn't that ugly thing, Kamal? You're talking down to the spirit of Islam, you know, to God of Islam, and talking to your God, exalting your God? May it not be. It's not for that purpose. But the truth will set humanity free. And the table of God is built for the Muslim too. Jesus died for the Muslim. Peter, if you love me, tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, they say bah all the time. They're lost. They poop all over their self. Always have to chase after them. They're sheep. They're dumber than dirt. Do you really love me, Peter? I remind you of yourself. Then tend my sheep. Loving God people, the Muslims. I believe the Jews and the Christian and the Muslim belong to the table of Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Hispanic, the Black, the Oriental, the White, as a church, must come to the table of their God. Because this church is not perfect, hardly ever from perfect, unless we become one. The white churches must go, get up one day and go visit black churches. And sit there and ask them for forgiveness for what happened. Black churches must do the same thing, and Hispanic, and start reaching for reconciliation with God, with His Spirit. And when we do this, all that discrimination that Satan sabotaged the church with, it's the church going to become a house. My house shall be called house prayers for all nations. And when we do this, we're going to change the kingdom. The kingdom and the fullness of it. And we'll become model for all humanity. And everybody will desire because the truth will set them free. I said to him, my Lord, I will live and die for you. He said, do not die for me. I died for you. I spilled my blood. I gave it. It's your turn. I said, my Lord, allow me. I will go and grab them by the skin of their teeth and by their eyelashes. Kick their behind and make them Christian. He said, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Be an ambassador of mine. The ambassadorship that we have today, only if we walk in the truth of God and the love of God. If we don't have the love of God, we're going to lose the battle. The battle is raging out there. And God is raging. Who is on my side? Two men on the cross, before Jesus died, they stood in his left and his right. One was cursing Jesus, and one cried to Jesus. He said, Jesus, remember me, Lord, in your kingdom. He said, you will be with me today in paradise. Everyone must take stand for Christ, because when you take stand for him, he will take stand for you.